it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Out of the gates and ready to go. Hot Mike with Hunter Withrow underway. The Tuesday edition has arrived. We made it through your Monday.
We did.
Glad you're here this afternoon. Outkick.com/watch is where you can find us. We have John McClain coming up. We talk all things NFL draft and recap and hit the big news notes, rumors about some positions. Chad, you mentioned Joe Milton as a tight end, maybe some other position changes as well. We've got McClain coming up in about 40 minutes, plus Michael McHenry, latest across Major League Baseball. Chad, good afternoon.
Michael McHenry alerting me before the show for his appearance that apparently there is now a home run sausage for the Minnesota Twins that they celebrate
Interesting.
With. I cannot wait to ask Michael McHenry about this home run sausage.
Imagine being a clubhouse of men coming up with that, the sausage.
Well, this is what I think they actually celebrate the same way at the Creed Cruise, being a different type of sausage fest,
yes.
Not a home run. Davey can get back
multiple,
to us on that.
Multiple days of that. This is just per home run.
There's a Creed sausage also that every time they sing higher or with arms wide open, they celebrate with the Creed sausage.
Maybe that's the home run song you're saying?
Yeah. We really got to get Davey to this cruise. Every time I think about I'm reminded of
Billy
how
Lucci
badly
can
we need to get him there.
Billy Lucci can get him there.
I think he can. He can get him higher.
He can. And Billy would go
with
him.
Higher.
Billy would
Yeah. Billy's, look.
I don't.
People like what they like, all right? I'm not one to shame someone for their interest. So, look, if you like Creed, great. More power to you. And Billy Lucci's a guy who loves Creed.
Sure.
Just like Davey.
And he would go to the, he would chop her in. He would go for one day and then get the hell out of there.
And Johnny Manziel would be with him.
Yeah. And then Davey rappels down and just stays.
Right.
He's like, I'm staying.
I'm pretty sure that he would be accompanied on one side by Johnny Manziel, the other one by LaMarcus Aldridge or some other dignitary from Texas A&M.
Davey, is the Creed Cruise complete? Have they made it back to shore? Cape Canaveral? Cape Canaveral, when they arrive back, will never be the same. Will never be the same.
I pray for a day that Davey just has the headset on. And we can just ask Davey questions, and
please
that he can answer
for us.
Instead of miming it to us over there. Like I'm going to do one of two things for Davey. I'm going to get him a headset that's constantly on and works, or I'm going to get him white face paint and the black lipstick to where he can mime us exactly what he's doing. He can have the French dude's hat on, and he can look. I'm in a box.
He's
now.
Our Charlie Chaplin.
Where am I? I don't know where I am. Yeah.
There
he is.
Yeah, I'm here. The cruise is actually going through tomorrow. So tomorrow's the last day.
Oh, my gosh.
The longest cruise ever.
How long were they out of the cruise?
How long were they out? It's like the COVID cruise.
There was two cruises.
They were out at sea for 2 weeks. Did they go out for a week and then come back?
No, they left. So the first cruise, I pulled it up just to make sure, April 18th through the 22nd.
Okay.
Second cruise, April 27th. So they left on
Saturday.
5 days
to clean.
And then they get back tomorrow.
Both
trips went to the Bahamas. One started
restock
in Miami.
On sausage.
One started Port Canaveral.
Davey, if there was a job opening and the description of the job was disinfectant crew for Creed Cruise, would you accept that job just to get closer to Creed? If you were the one that had to disinfect the entire boat post Creed Cruise,
specifically below
would
deck.
You take this job?
Probably not.
Okay.
Specifically below deck, Jack.
Below deck and with a blue light to make sure that everything is cleaned up when it's all said and done.
Yes.
Pass.
Well, how many embroidered jeans are left behind on the Creed Cruise?
How many chains that connect to the wallet are left?
Affliction t-shirts. How many are left? What's the other brand? Ed Hardy. How much Ed Hardy is left behind?
What would you wear, Davey? Would you go and buy a specific shirt for this?
No.
How many Creed shirts are left
behind?
I
think I've had these jeans for about 10 years. I would probably keep wearing those. And I've got...
How many Creed shirts do you own?
Zero. I don't own much apparel outside of a couple of sports teams. Outside of that, it's your general you know, shirt, general button-up shirts, you would
general
buy at the mall,
polos,
like
golf shirts,
polo Ralph Lauren. Sorry, Chad.
Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. Yes, as an employee of Ralph Lauren,
you better get right. Check,
but untuck it. Yeah,
I could do a full demonstration at
and
some
then
point.
Just a t-shirt just says "Stap" across of it, across your chest, right? Stap.
I'm not opposed to gifts.
Do you automatically reek of Tricar Noir when you walk into the Creed Cruise or when you leave it? Like, what is the scent of choice?
Axe body spray.
Woods. Remember that was an aroma back in the day?
Was that Abercrombie? Woods?
I think Abercrombie Woods, yeah. You got it right. Yeah. Woods by Abercrombie.
Before my time.
Axe body spray now.
Givenchy. That's one that I had.
you mean Lynx?
Everybody Lynx. Wanted to say Givenchy, but I was very cultured, and I knew that it was Givenchy.
Was there? What was blue?
Blue was Acquadigia.
I don't know.
Acquadigia was his own brand, I think.
Do you remember this, Davey? Blue?
No.
Oh, well.
We're getting into a time of year where we're going to spend an entire show on colognes from the 90s.
That's at the gift shop, actually, on the Creed Cruise. You can buy a t-shirt. It comes with a special tryout. You've got the sampler of whatever cologne you want.
I think the last time I owned colognes was high school, like middle school, high school, college, maybe right out of college. And the two bottles I can distinctly remember in my mind, Givenchy, which was sort of like a yellowish gold, with the black. Another one I had was Pi. Remember the cologne Pi? And it was just the Pi symbol?
That was
the third one, Hutton.
That was for the higher class. Which, well done by
the
you.
The third one, which was very expensive, was Acquadigio. And it was a male body. It was like a ripped male body that was blue and turquoise throughout.
This was like
that
your...
That was the actual bottle.
This was your home run sausage celebration in cologne.
This was my sausage celebration. I wore the Acquadigio to many a sausage party. Too. So there's always a tie-in, one way or the other.
Michael McKendry.
I think it was the Acquadigio that helped cause those parties to remain a sausage party, like we'll talk with Michael McHenry about.
So I'm writing down right now, I'm going to ask McHenry, worst celebration that he was a part of, but he went along with it.
You do it just because your team does it?
Do you do this in the minor leagues?
What's the worst thing you ever did with a team, Hutton, that like the whole team did it? I mean, I burned myself with a fork, but that was like guys I graduated with.
Yeah.
We shaved our head. One time for a basketball camp.
Let me be honest about athletic achievements here as a team. We didn't win very much in my high school.
So you guys weren't very united. You wouldn't shave your head together.
No. I told you about the wind sticks. There was a guy who smoked cigarettes and would go to the exit door. That's where he would do it, in the locker room, and then outrun us the entire practice as we ran laps for doing whatever we did wrong. Those were Colby's wind sticks. It's incredible.
Yeah.
That was our motivation. That was our motivation. We all wanted Marlboro Lights because of that, or Camels.
One year, my freshman basketball team went to a basketball camp at Tennessee Tech. Everybody shaved their head, except for two guys on the team. And it just happened to be our two African-American players.
Yeah.
And Hutton, what do you think that looks like when you show up to a camp and everyone's got a shaved head except the two black guys on the team?
We
were looked at a little weird. Now, I will say, Myron, we'll get Myron in on the show. I'm still buddies with Myron. He can tell us this. His hair was short enough to where, like, we didn't go complete skinhead, so that would have looked far worse had we gone full skinhead. We went, like, the really short crop, you know, almost shaved head look. So it's still
the final number on the guard.
I mean, this was pre-cancel culture when you could joke about everything.
Yeah.
We joked about this as a team amongst the other players that the black guys on our team made fun of us for looking like skinheads while we were playing together in the tournament.
There were writers at Deadspin that were a part of this era that would have joked.
They would have.
And now they're writing columns.
Members of the media may have joked about it now they refuse to.
That's right.
I'll joke about anything.
Same.
Yeah. Including Creed, even though that's a sanctified territory for one Davey Hudson.
I just want to go and observe Davey at a Creed concert.
I want to observe Davey in the wild, period. We only really get a snapshot of Davey here. I want to see
him. Like a safari?
But I want to see him where he doesn't know we're around.
Okay.
Like I want him to, like, he needs to be a captive member of our zoo.
What you're saying is you want
that
to sit
we watch
back
him in the wild and see how
him,
he interacts.
You want to watch him watch a show in the wild.
There was a time.
Davey, you in the wild, how would you describe it?
I'm pretty boring. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
He's probably a lot
streaming
like me.
Shows until 1 a.m. when he falls asleep, I think, most nights. Like
hey,
most
fine.
People.
I did, so I'm going to try to get, there's a man named Eddie Trunk. He was the one hosting the Summer of 99 Cruise. I just went to his Twitter.
He does and like a, he did a music show like MTV2 or something.
I believe
right?
so. Yes.
VH1.
I can get with Guns.
Did he do a show with Matt Pinfield? That's another guy I remember.
He
from
was Matt Pinfield's well, competition.
Pinfield was also on the cruise.
Oh, Pinfield was.
Yes, but. So Eddie announced.
What about Kurt Loder?
No, there's a Katie Babbs and Josh Bernstein. They were also on there as far as like who was hosting this, but they've announced that the Summer of 99 will actually be an annual event moving forward.
Well, then you've got plenty of chances to get back on this bad boy, Davey. That's what I'm hearing.
Was Chris Conley a part of this?
We need to get back to a way to watch Davey on dates to where he doesn't know we're there. We're actively watching him. Old friend of the show, Ryan Mudd. Who's been in studio, everyone in the studio still asks, when is Ryan Mudd going to make another appearance?
Life coach Ryan Mudd.
We once mic'd him up for a date, and I went and interviewed him and his blind date right after the date, and it was gold. I don't think Davey could deliver to that level of entertainment that Ryan Mudd did, but it would be very entertaining if we could watch Davey in the wild. And is this your natural element, Davey, or is the outside world your natural element? Which would you say?
Can you clarify a little bit more when you say...
Well, like when I say in the wild, like, is this truly you? Or do you feel like, you know, out at the bar with your buddies is more you in the wild? Is it at home with the fan? Like, what exactly makes you tick?
It's a great question. I would say I feel like I'm in my element pretty much here every day. As far as, like, what you see here is what you're going to get outside of the studio.
I agree with that.
I would say there's maybe a little difference as far as... Maybe a little bit more lethargic, actually, out in the wild, I would say.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Ryan Mudd, Ryan does have a website now, Ryan Mudd, coachmudd.com, where he has his autograph at the top part of the page, and it looks like Robert Durst's cadaver note.
I want everyone anybody who watches this to go and subscribe to Coach Mudd wherever he goes, because I'll tell you what will happen is if you subscribe and you're stupid enough to give him your cell phone number, you will receive a Bible verse of encouragement every day from Ryan Mudd, because that's what I get from him. I didn't sign up for anything.
What if it's actually
AI? But somehow
I get... What verse did you get today?
It slowed down a little bit, but I get a Bible verse maybe every other day.
What if it's actually AI?
That Ryan Mudd... That's scary. If AI becomes Ryan Mudd, that's scary.
His slogan is, everyone needs a coach in life. Ryan A. Mudd.
And I should be the coach. He left off the last part of his slogan. Everyone needs a coach in
life,
and I am that coach for you.
I help you get control of your finances, life, and leadership in that order.
Leadership.
There is an app if you wanted to, like, I don't do the good morning text, but, like, let's say you were a guy and you were talking to a bunch of different girls and you wanted to send them a somewhat generic, but make it look like you tailored it to them. You can set it up to where it's going to text them every day, but you can, like, change it to where it would be like 5 minutes later or 5 minutes before, to where it's always a little bit more random, so it doesn't look like it's just set like, oh, 8 a.m. every single morning. AI, man, it's crazy.
That is. By the way, we can schedule and book a free coaching session.
Oh,
Chad, I'll volunteer, or we can have Davey do this and record it.
I think we should do the whole session here in studio.
Schedule a free
call.
Like,
he just walks us through it. Like, all right, coach us. We give him the location, and it's here, and he walks in and sits down right there where Davey is. And this, you know, could be in June. And we say, all right, Mudd, take us through it. What's your process? How would you coach us?
Yeah, it says schedule a free call, and it takes you back to the main page. So there it is. There's the there's Ryan A. Mudd, life coach, Chad. There's the logo. Again, the scratch handwriting like the Jinx, the cadaver note.
This should be a billboard. This ad that we're looking at right now, I mean, I feel like I'm looking at this on I-24 East, headed to Chattanooga. And you look up and see that, and I think, you know, I think this guy's right. Everyone does need a coach, and he needs to be my coach.
This should be in Times Square.
Yeah, he could hit a three from the men's line also.
He doesn't need the women's three-point line here.
Yeah, he could play with
doesn't need I-24.
Play with a men's ball.
Sure.
All he wants.
Everyone needs a coach in life. Ryan A. Mudd.
Does that not look like a billboard?
Coaching Davey Hudson.
Does that not look like the billboard of an insurance agent?
It absolutely does.
When you see Ryan Mudd.
All right, we're signing up for the free coaching session.
I look at this photo of Ryan Mudd, and I think to myself, this guy should be my coach. I know that's what he's going for. He got me.
Ryan's coaching guarantee. Make a change and own your results. You are guaranteed to live a better life when you control your finances and mindset through coaching. Guaranteed.
Ryan A. Mudd.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
He's the man.
Chad, maybe the NBA and the star power of the NBA could use some Ryan A. Mudd life coaching in their life right now, just based on where the league is headed and the media rights and everything else that's involved. They need star power to step up.
Well, star power in the NBA is LeBron James, it's Steph Curry, it's Kevin Durant, all right? This is for everybody.
Yeah.
You can go back generations, and they're going to know those three people, right? I saw my dad, who's getting ready to have a big birthday, about turn 80. My dad knows those three guys, okay? But if I told my dad right now, hey, the biggest stars left in the NBA playoffs are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he'd have no idea who that is, no. Even though he's a budding superstar. Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Anthony Edwards, Jokic, Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving. These are names, Paul George. These are names that basketball fans, sports fans know, but not true star power with the likes of LeBron, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant out of the playoffs. So my question is, with a lack of star power, can an individual team and a market become the star of the NBA playoffs? I'm looking at you, New York Knicks. I'm looking at you, Madison Square Garden. Ben Stiller, courtside, getting excited. That is the place to be right now in the NBA. And I have been channel surfing a bit, watching some of these playoff games. It's the best atmosphere at Madison Square Garden. There is some intrigue there with that franchise and that market. If they can go on a run, they play tonight trying to close out the Philadelphia 76ers. They're up 3-1. If they win, they will likely get the Indiana Pacers, who were up 3-1 as the sixth seed over three-seeded Milwaukee. There's a good chance that we get a New York Knicks-Boston Celtics 1-2 NBA Eastern Conference final. I think that's pretty good. Now, what's pretty good for the NBA right now in 2024? It's pretty bad compared to past years. Really bad compared to the 90s, if you look at NBA ratings. But it could still be a pretty good thing if the Knicks are that team to go on the run. I'm curious, Hutton, if there's going to be some sex appeal with the Knicks, with Jalen Brunson, if they can keep this up and continue on their playoff march and get to at least the Eastern Conference final.
This will pick up. This is huge for them, because for the league too, because if it picks up, it's better than what we saw with Denver, because we had a similar conversation last year.
Yeah.
With Jokic and everyone, whether or not he's the MVP, who's voting for him, who's not, why you would leave him off the ballot, Mark Jackson, all that, right? With the Knicks, the national brand of the New York Knicks and the city of New York getting totally behind it, this would be massive for the league.
I think so. I know the league hopes so.
I think the response to the stars of the Knicks would be way different, I guess is what I'm saying. You learn more about them because more people are watching.
Yeah, I think Jalen Brunson is that star for the Knicks and the one that could be a darling. And he's not the biggest guy also, which always helps, kind of the underdog story. Not that anything about New York City is an underdog, but
right.
This Knicks team could kind of become that for the NBA. And I think it could be a big time benefit to the league if the Knicks continue playing and playing well, and sports fans can get, for a lot of them, introduced the NBA this season. Maybe no one's watched throughout the year.
Not yet.
And they get into it now because they're watching Madison Square Garden in that atmosphere. That, to me, that's got to be the hope of the NBA office.
Davey, do a quick search. Draft night, Thursday night last week, the ratings for the playoffs in the NBA compared to the NFL draft. The NFL draft had 12 million tune in to watch that first round. I'm curious what the NBA playoffs drew in their postseason compared to
it's going
to
be
an event where
awful compared to the NBA, NFL draft.
And the ratings were up for the draft compared to an event where the football is not even shown. The actual ball to play the sport's not on the screen, period.
So, let's see here. John Lewis with Sports Media Watch put out that the NBA playoff ratings have suffered only a modest decline thus far. NBA playoff games average a 1.7 rating and 3.17 million viewers across ABC, ESPN, TNT, True TV, and NBA TV through Sunday, down a tick in ratings and 6% in viewership from last season.
I bet it was down significantly, though, that Thursday night of the NFL draft. Whatever game was on opposite of it, just that individual game,
yeah,
had to be way down versus the NFL draft.
So the NBA rights.
But I do think there's a chance the Knicks will help push that number up. compared to last year, you know, again, not compared to the heyday of the NBA or anything like that, but compared to a year ago, this is not Caitlin Clark's effect on women's college basketball that they receive an all-time high and the WNBA draft receives an all-time high in viewership. But I do think it'll improve upon last year's NBA playoffs, maybe the year before, if the Knicks can get hot and go on
a run. I wonder if the – can the NBA have the version of Caitlin Clark come into the league? I'm not so sure because I think it's the way the league is played as well that you gravitate towards or you gravitate away from. I think that's also kind of a turnoff for the average sports fan.
Well,
and the blowouts.
I think that
– I mean, the 30-point swings – you know, we saw another one last night nearly with Boston and Indiana, or Miami, excuse me.
Well,
it's just
that player needs to be American.
Well, but they also need to be able to play the complete game. Like, not, I mean, they need to play defense.
Yeah, and they're not doing enough of that across the league. But, I mean, the Caitlin Clark of the NBA is some farm kid that sprouts out of nowhere that becomes this just dynamite sensation.
Well, the version,
but
though,
we've seen so much of that.
We've seen
in
that
the
with
past
Steph Curry.
NBA.
We saw that with Steph Curry.
And we saw with Larry Bird before that. I mean, we've seen those stories before in the men's game. And for whatever reason, Caitlin Clark just caught the zeitgeist better than anyone else. Victor Wembanyama's not going to do that for the NBA.
No.
As great as he might be. But he's not going to do that for the NBA. Luka Doncic isn't going to do that.
No, because he doesn't want to be there.
We know Joker's not doing that for the NBA already. He's a great player. So, tough to know what the answer is for that league. Maybe it'll be the Knicks.
Now, Mac McClung's not doing that by winning the dunk contest.
No, he can't do that from the G League either, where he plays. But not on an NBA roster full-time.
Yeah, but I don't even know what G League team he plays for.
I don't know G League teams. I'll take it a step further.
Well, we know one, but that's it.
Well, I knew the one that was the, Ignite?
Yeah.
The one that all the high school kids were on? That they've disbanded. So now I don't know any.
Well, but that was basically NIL. So what?
Well, now that team is in Australia, right? Doesn't Doc, or not Doc Rivers, who?
Oh, I don't know if they were answering the question.
Oh, I thought they were answering the question. Who is the guy that took over? Oh, Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith has part ownership in the Australian League and a team now
that
is basically the G League Ignite. And now there's an Australian Pro League that is in, obviously in Australia, that's the new cultivation system to pay guys that don't want to go to college to play basketball before the NBA.
Chad, you have the Motor City Crews, the Salt Lake City Stars, Greensboro Swarm.
Never heard of any of those.
Cleveland Charge.
Nope. Why would Cleveland have one and an NBA team? That seems very...
I bet they play in Canton or something.
It seems very greedy.
The Long Island Nets.
Cleveland.
The Delaware Bluecoats. And Grand Rapids Gold. Raptors 905 as well.
Raptors 905 I've heard of.
Okay.
That's the first. I knew Grand Rapids had a team. I believe Donnie Tindall coached that team at one point.
Wow.
Rapids had a team. But and I have heard of the Raptors.
Is he still in the middle of his show cost, his 15-year deal?
Yeah. I mean, they may have just thrown him in jail by now.
He still is.
I think the NCAA actually locked him up at this point.
You feel like Donnie Tindall would come out and try to actually get back in now.
I think he's selling cars in Knoxville right now or something.
Really?
I think he's out of basketball or he's at some junior college somewhere where he had a lot of success.
He's working
before.
At Alimony. What was the name of that place?
That was Kim Pearl.
Yeah.
Bruce's ex-wife, her place.
Chet,
we're going to find out what Donnie Tindall's up to these
LeBron
days.
James is not going to retire.
According to Rich Paul?
Yeah, his guy, right? His Clutch Sports founder and CEO. Did anyone expect him to? I mean, he's going to be playing in the Olympics. I don't know why you would retire and play in the Olympics.
I didn't know this was speculation. I was pretty sure that he was going to at least come back for one more year. I didn't know this was a big discussion. Chipola College, junior college, is where Donnie Tindall's currently coaching,
okay.
By the way. And I thought it may be something at JUCO. So he's still after it. Saying he was selling cars.
I just don't see...
nothing wrong with selling cars.
Rich Paul says, I think he has 2 to 3 years left in the tank, maybe. So.
Well, he's in the tank, all right.
He's going to be playing like the, he's 39. He's the oldest active player in the NBA. He's going to be, he's on the Tom Brady plan here.
Yeah.
Every year there's going to be speculation. He's going to come back. And he's playing with his son. And 2 to 3 years from now, we're going to have a team in Vegas.
We're not paying.
He will end his career in Vegas.
I mean, all the, you know, LeBron jokes and everything
aside.
You can
have part ownership now, too, in the NBA as part of your contract.
Well, all the LeBron jokes and everything aside, we're not giving the guy probably enough credit for this remarkable longevity because he's still really good. Now, we're not giving him that because the Lakers are disappointments. It feels like year after year, right? They lost in five games in their opening playoff series this year. They're out already. But LeBron is, for a 39-year-old guy, still really good in the league. So that's why I didn't have any doubts that he was going to come back and play.
So he has 285 games played in the playoffs for his career. He's played 21 NBA seasons. So, I mean, he's really played like, what, 24, 25 seasons based on how many postseason games he's played? That's remarkable.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
But then he's playing the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting after. This is not a headline that surprised me. He's going to keep playing. I think what is surprising is...
You buy the Bronny theory.
Well, he's an easy target, and LeBron James has made himself a target for a number of reasons, but it is incredible how well he's kept it together.
His health.
Throughout his career and his everything about him, that he's still playing at this level. At this point in his career, like, yes, there's a drop off. He's not the LeBron James that single handedly beat the Warriors, back with the Cavs, but he's still playing at a very high level. It just doesn't often get that high amount of respect because they're not advancing deep in the playoffs.
You buy the Vegas theory?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to own a team.
But like, I think he ends his career there. And it's part owner.
Well, they got to get that team pretty quick if he's going to end his career there.
Well, they have the arena if they wanted to use it.
Yeah, MGM. But I mean, it's usually like if you're an expansion team, I mean, teams got to move there pretty quickly. Because if you're an expansion team, they announce that 3-4 years in advance. And I don't think he's going to make it that long.
Well, I know, but they're – oh, but Rich Paul's saying he's playing 2 to 3 more seasons.
Yeah, but I mean, so they'd have to announce it today. Then he would have to play 1 year there 3 or 4 years from now.
But they already have the arena, is what I'm saying, where the Aces play.
Yeah, but usually they don't announce we're going to expand and it starts next year with two teams. It's like a 3 or 4 year out process, and they have not said anything yet.
They got to work out who's going to win the lottery by getting the Vegas NBA franchise.
They got to get the A's there first and whatever that monstrosity is they're going to play in.
They say they're
going.
And
then they'll go to the NBA team.
Chad, Davey mentioned this to me, and you mentioned on the show yesterday, 137 picks between Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler in the NFL draft. After we saw 6 in the top 12, we waited 137 selections until we saw Spencer Rattler drafted. Nix went number 12. Rattler went 150. He's the 150th pick. And here's Ian Rappaport of NFL Network's NFL draft coverage giving an opinion as to why the wait was so long.
I want to mention something in addition to this. And this is kind of weird to say, honestly. Spencer Rattler did a reality show in high school. It's called QB1 Beyond the Lights. It did not make him look great. And it is unbelievable how many different teams mentioned to me the image of him in that show and how they can't get it out of their heads, which I think would be a public service announcement to all 17-year-olds. But it is fascinating his teams weigh whether or not to draft him.
So this is... We don't know exactly why in this show, Chad, he was suspended. He missed like a big game for his high school. Apparently, his parents said he was injured. Like they played it off like that, but he was really suspended. They never got into details as to why. But when I hear reality show, high school, I'm thinking, I mean, the fact that it kept him years later, where he goes to Oklahoma and plays for Lincoln Riley, and then we see Caleb Williams take over as he's booed on the field at Oklahoma, ends up going to a Lincoln Riley protege type coach, and plays at South Carolina. And I'm not saying he's the best quarterback going, but 150 picks between that guy and Bo Nix is the separation. Doesn't make sense to me based on a high school reality show. Because I'm thinking about Stephanie Pratt and Kristen Cavallari, Lauren Conrad in the Hills, or Rush Probst, who coached Hoover in a reality show of high school.
Two-a-days.
On MTV, Two-a-days.
I have the DVD of that first season.
And how Flavor of Love with Flavor Flav, where he's banging every chick on TV, and his popularity's never been more popular and never been more relevant with his Q rating. But
Travis Kelce had a dating reality show.
Yes, but my
Catching Kelce, wasn't that the name of it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't know if anyone watched it.
The dude's with a billionaire global icon now, Taylor Swift.
But a high school reality show where you have so much information since then, where Oklahoma and South Carolina didn't seem to have a problem with said reality show. That NFL scout in some region is going to point to that and tell Ian Rappaport that, you know, they took issue to whatever was shown on this television program. I'm sure we would take issue to something that's said during Hard Knocks that's edited out by the final edit of said team that happens to be featured that season. I don't get this at all. With multiple people saying that this was, this must be the biggest story that's been hidden underneath the surface of his career that we've ever heard of in the history of NFL quarterbacks beginning their rookie season for this suspension in high school. I mean, you can come across as a complete, you know, prick, but there are plenty of those dudes in the league. Plenty of guys that have a past in the league.
Of course.
And it's not coming from a reality show. It's from, you know, a true criminal record instead of whatever took place here. This is just kind of an eye roll to me. Until, I mean, if it's true, then let's find out what the suspension was for.
Well, okay.
We've heard a lot worse.
I say this as someone who dyed my hair blonde and wore, you know, tank tops, yes, backwards hats, and the puka shell necklaces.
We got into this on the draft show with Clay.
Yeah, like, am I really going to believe? You're going to sit there and tell me that an NFL team said, hey, you just turn on the footage of that QB1 show, and that'll tell you everything you need to know about Spencer Rattler and all that he is at his core and why we as an organization passed on him as a quarterback. I don't buy it. I think it's sensational.
They can't get the image of him out of their heads.
It is a sensational statement by one scout that is a good source to Ian Rappaport, who gives him red meat. That's what this is. These are not your vegetables you're being given for info. This is red meat. We're feasting on it right now.
But not just one scout. How many different teams mentioned to me was the way he said this? Different teams.
First off, I think sometimes when these guys say this, they're not being completely honest. I bet it's two teams maybe three. I don't think he went to half the league and all of them are saying the same thing. And these reporters, I think, tend to go to guys, and I would too. I mean, this is the business.
So he was ruled ineligible due to a violation of the district code of conduct. So I take that as some form of cheating. Code of conduct, right?
It could be a number of things. He could have spat on someone's face after a game. He could have gotten a fight, altercation with an official after a game. There could be a lot of things.
But very few details about
district code of conduct to me is not cheating as much as it is he did something stupid during a game and was caught. And they went back after the fact and said you're suspended.
Or said something. But still, like, but there are very few details about that. And then there was his family originally said that he couldn't play because he was injured.
Well, so let me go back to what I was saying about the reporters, okay, in this report. All right, red meat versus vegetables. Vegetables is, you know, we didn't really like Spencer Rattler's footwork, so we passed, right? Or we saw this on film, or he doesn't fit our system. If Ian Rappaport says that, no one is talking about it. We're certainly not talking a lot about it. But if you get multiple people the way he claims to have gotten that say, this reality TV show turned us off of him completely. He was off our board because of this reality TV show. Now, that's something that gets picked up. That is red meat that gets feasted on by hosts like us and other shows. And I get it. I get it. I don't buy it. I just simply don't buy it. I think it's sensationalistic BS, and I don't buy it. Hutton, if you – this is what they're actually saying in this. We watch Spencer Rattler on this show, and Spencer Rattler in high school was a tool.
Yeah.
Came across as a douchebag, for lack of a better term. How many high school kids could you describe as tools when they're in high school? I mean, that is so stupid. If you're evaluating a guy for one last scholarship spot and he comes across as a tool with his coaches or his teammates or whatever, you don't want to offer him that scholarship based on whatever school, that's fine. This was high school. You know what Spencer Rattler did after high school? He went to Oklahoma as the number one quarterback in the country, and he got his ass humbled.
Yep.
Quick. He sucked.
He was booed off the field.
He was not good as the number one guy. You think that might change someone? You think that might turn someone from a tool to something else when they have to go somewhere else and pick up the scraps of their career and they go from a program like Oklahoma to a program like South Carolina? All respect to South Carolina. They're in the SEC. They ain't Oklahoma.
No.
Where he went originally. And he had to go there. And he had to make something of his college career. That's what you focus on in the NFL draft. That and, oh, I don't know, his film? You actually watch the guy play quarterback while he's in college? Let's take a look at that. Not some stupid reality show from when he was in high school. That's why I don't buy it. It's a great report. It got us talking. It got others talking. I don't buy it for one bit.
Well, and they had the school and the district had no comment whenever he was suspended. Lincoln Riley had no issue with it based on the information he gathered at the time, right? And it was this show that actually delved into the depths of whatever the suspension was about, which was still, we don't know that much about it because they kept it hidden for so long. I was suspended for like for the final month. But like going back to like just the reality shows of that of our era, Chad, like Liz Gately would love this story, who created Laguna Beach, the real Orange County.
Yeah, I think
the real Rattler of Arizona.
Red meat is the wrong dinner analogy. This is dessert. Like this is a dessert report. That this has us all eating our sweets now because we're talking about a tabloid reality show. This is the reason teams didn't draft him. And I just don't buy it. I think that is a juicy little bitty minute detail in someone's evaluation that multiple people may have said, but I'm not buying that that's the reason they didn't draft Spencer Rattler ultimately.
Well,
and how unfair is that to Spencer Rattler also? If multiple teams are saying, you know, the only reason he was great everywhere else, great for our system, seems like a good enough guy. But man, that film that we watched of that reality show and his parents lying for him, that really turned us off and we took him off the board.
How about this? The other report was, and this is from McAfee, I believe, the two teams that were really in on Rattler, like maybe second round beyond, Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons. Those two teams.
And then, I mean, of course, the Falcons were going to draft a quarterback clearly at some point.
Yes. And after those two teams were out, where, you know, they drafted their quarterbacks, they didn't need him. So there's the real reason for the 150 pick drop. And I'm not saying he's anywhere close to that group. Neither is Bo Nix. But adding this to it is just bizarre. We can tie in later this. Spencer Rattler's the former MVP of Elite 11. Trent Dilfer, mm-hmm. of course, right there. On top of Elite 11, with all the years doing that.
He ran it for a while.
Ran it for a long time. And he's got an exclusive through ESPN behind the scenes of, well, he's got UAB, the Blazers, the entire program, signing up for athletes.org for the coming together for revenue share. You know, Jim Harbaugh was preaching revenue sharing. He was on top of it. He was at the forefront. He was in the pulpit for revenue sharing. That was the two words you shouldn't say as a coach for the last couple of years, revenue sharing for players. Harbaugh was pushing it. Dilfer's doing more than that because he's got his team behind it. And he'll join us later this week to detail. He joined us last week. It gave great detail on quarterbacks in the draft. Now we'll discuss the players he's coaching and why he's signing up for it. But he's a player's first coach. And what he said about, I want my team to be able to do this if they have a chance to cash in when everyone else is cashing in. If you're really a player's first coach, every coach should be doing this, having their team have the opportunity to sign up for athletes.org. Details on that a little bit later in the show. We get into the NFL draft coming up. And, well, the biggest storylines are quarterbacks. Beyond that, some teams who are true contenders got a lot better because great defensive players coming into the league as rookies fell so far in an offensive draft. That's next with John McClain here on Hot Mic.
Hey, look, I'm a dad. I know what dads want for Father's Day. That is steak, world-class Omaha Steaks. Dads deserve top-quality American beef, and that's what they'll get with Omaha Steaks' deluxe Father's Day gift. For just $89.99, he'll get mouth-watering Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steak burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Again, that's omahasteaks.com. Use code OUTKICK and get deluxe Father's Day gift plus four free burgers today.
Hot Mike with Hunter Withrow, 6th and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Outkick.com/watch is where you can stream the show live. YouTube as well for clips, highlights, and more from all the programs. Just go there, search out Outkick. Hope you'll subscribe while you're there. And Chad, across the podcast platform, literally wherever you download audio, you can find us.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts, you can listen to this show.
John McClain joins us. You can find him with the Houston Texans, HoustonTexans.com. He joins us here weekly. We talk all things NFL with the man who's covered the league for nearly five decades. And it's a Pro Football Hall of Fame selector. John, good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Thank you very much for having me as always.
Outside of the quarterbacks in the draft, John, which we'll get to, what's the biggest storyline as we wrap up the 2024 NFL draft?
Oh, boy. Of course, Penix is the biggest story. Another one of two teams drafting low, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, had great drafts. I think one that down here in Texas, it's a huge story, is the Cowboys didn't draft a running back.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk that they were going to take Jonathan Brooks from University of Texas. And, of course, he's coming off a torn ACL. He's supposed to be ready for the season. He may have to start it on physically unable to perform. But he, like Bijan Robinson last year, would have been a first-round pick if he wasn't injured. Now, Carolina traded up ahead of them to get Brooks. And so the Cowboys signed Zeke Elliott, and everybody is yawning because he hadn't had a big season, I don't think, since like 2020. So they want to take pressure off Dak Prescott, and they didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
And unless Mike McCarthy's got somebody up his sleeve or he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat, it just makes no sense, because what we see now is means Dak Prescott's going to have even more pressure on him to play well and win, rather than have a back who can take some pressure off of him.
John, I mentioned this with Chad earlier about the draft. Like, there, because of the offensive run that we saw early, the really good defensive players fell to contenders. Dallas Turner to Minnesota, who loaded up in the first round. But also Philadelphia with Mitchell. You mentioned Dallas trades back. They get an offensive lineman. But speaking of offensive line, Pittsburgh there. I'm with you. I don't feel like Dallas is among the teams that I view as – they got someone in January that's going to truly help them make a push and win some games. Meanwhile, others benefit from, like, difference makers late in the season where a rookie can stand out and actually help them win a football game.
I thought they made a mistake letting Tony Pollard go to the Titans. And the reason is this: so many times, not all the time, but so many times, we'll see a running back with a torn ACL come back the first year, and in his mind, he's recovered. But it's almost always the second year before they are 100% mentally as well as physically. And the Cowboys got to know that. That's tried and true. Now, there are exceptions, like Adrian Peterson had the quickest recovery from a torn ACL I've ever seen and rushed for 2,000 yards. But I think the Pollard signing by the Titans was underrated, and because, you know, they lose Derrick Henry, so of course everybody's talking about that. But I think the Cowboys are going to miss Pollard, and I don't think Zeke Elliott is what he used to be, even though he's not used up. And I don't blame them for drafting offensive linemen. You know, they drafted two, Pittsburgh drafted three, but Pittsburgh's too deep at running back, and they're both good. Cowboys, you know, Rico Dowdle, maybe he's going to rush for 12 or 1,300 yards, but I don't know anybody that sees it coming.
Yeah.
John, are you buying the Bears right now? Caleb Williams at one, Roma Dunze at nine. Even given the fact that Matt Eberflus is still their coach, do you like what they did in this draft? And do you feel like, obviously with this many high picks, you're going to get more talented and better, but that this is a team legitimately headed in the right direction when that direction includes eventually a new stadium and a lot of different transition going on with that Bears organization right now?
Chad Lack, there was a great question I heard asked here on the local show about of the six first-round picks at quarterback. Which head coach is going to get fired first? And I immediately thought of Matt Eberflus. It's his third year. He's a defensive coordinator. They came on strong at the end of last year with Justin Fields, ended up winning seven games. Ryan Poles has made some really good personnel decisions, and they're expecting Caleb Williams to play like C.J. Stroud and not Bryce Young. Well, he's got more talent around him than Bryce Young did. But when you're counting on a rookie quarterback to help you improve on your previous season, usually that's a recipe for disaster that we see all too often. So I could see Caleb Williams struggle as a rookie like so many quarterbacks do. Remember, Jared Goff struggled. Jeff Fisher got fired. Then they had all these weapons the next year to the Rams offense, and Goff's improved, ready to go. So was the next coach, Sean McVay, who benefited from all that. I could see that happening here, and that they're not going to be as good as people think. Maybe they can win nine games. Who knows? Everybody in that situation right now is saying, well, look what the Texans did. If they did it, we can do it. But I would say I love Adunze, love Caleb Williams. Two number one picks and among the top nine, and that puts even more pressure on Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, and John, I hate looking ahead like this because I'm not trying to get someone fired before they're fired. This feels like a power play that Caleb Williams can make where, I mean, who's to say that Lincoln Riley's not his head coach this time next year?
I don't know if he's that kind of guy. Maybe he is. Well, all we know is when they fire Eberflus, they're going to get an offensive coach because that's usually the way it goes. Not always, but usually. So then they'd look around. Okay, does Lincoln Riley want to coach in the NFL? What's he done to prove that he can win in the NFL? Because he hadn't done it at USC. Things are a little different out there than they were for him at Oklahoma.
Yes.
But he's had Caleb Williams two different places. And I'm sure if he let people know, I'd like to get an interview, that he would at very least get an interview.
Well, and the Bears. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze around him. He's got they've built up the offensive line in past drafts, have tried to, with high picks. Cole Kmet at tight end. I mean, he should come in and have success. That's how I view it, John. It shouldn't be, well, he's got a defensive-minded head coach. He has weapons around him, and they have planned and allocated resources accordingly, knowing that he was going to be their quarterback.
But he's still a rookie. And if they're expecting him to win 9 or 10 games to win the division, that's I don't think it's fair to him. You know, it's not like he's Superman. Nobody used generational talent with him like they did Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck. And Trevor Lawrence, in that regard, has been a disappointment. Now, the Jaguars love him, I'm sure, but he has not played like a generational talent. And maybe Caleb Williams will right off the bat, but I think he's going to have a learning curve. The division is good. Packers are improved. Lions are on top. And Minnesota maybe. But they both got rookie quarterbacks. So I don't think you can ever count on a rookie quarterback to take over and compete for the playoffs. Russell Wilson did it, and he was a third-round pick. Tom Brady, of course, didn't play as a rookie. Never once Dak Prescott, he was great fourth round pick as a rookie, but nobody counted on it.
Just sticking with the Bears theme, Bryce Young, of course, with the trade that allowed the Bears to have that number one overall pick. They have, they go, of course, with Caleb Williams, but the trade has ended up so far like this. There's still one more pick next year for Chicago to make in the second round as a part of this deal. Panthers get Bryce Young. The Bears end up with DJ Moore, Darnell Wright on the offensive line, Tyreek Stevenson, which was the 61st overall pick, and, of course, Caleb Williams. And they have the second round next year. This is a lopsided trade thus far, John.
It is a lopsided trade. It's not. It's about like this.
Yes.
It's not like Deshaun Watson, which is.
Oh, and that's complete too, is it not?
Yeah, that's complete.
It's lopsided too, those two. Don't trade away your trade away all the picks in a 3-year window for coaches and GMs, Chad.
Yeah.
They're trading away all their picks for a quarterback.
Well,
I'm glad that the NFL has a rule. You can't go more than 3 years ahead when you're trading, because I just read the Phoenix Suns, who got swept despite having three superstars, have no control over their first round picks through 2030.
Wow.
Well, and that's crazy. And John, speaking of the importance of a quarterback, we had a caller on our old show who once argued that you should draft every spot in your draft, draft a quarterback in hopes that you get one that's good if you don't have one. Every year, you just draft quarterback, and you try them out and try to find the right one. I feel like the Falcons may have listened to this person, and they said, hey, we're paying one guy $100 million, but that's an important spot, and we kind of like this Michael Penix Jr. guy too, so we'll use a top 10 pick on him, even though we've got tons of needs on the defensive side. What did you make of that move for the Falcons, John? And I'm asking this question as a guy who loves Michael Penix Jr. as a quarterback in this class, but what do you make of that
Chad
move?
Chad just wants to watch him play.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play, not ride the bench behind Kirk Cousins.
One of the dumbest moves I've ever seen a team make. And it doesn't matter if you think Michael Penix is going to the Hall of Fame. You can't sign Kirk Cousins to that kind of deal. Now he's upset. Michael Penix, is upset. He had four career-ending injuries, and he came back from all of them. He wrote a letter to every team detailing every injury and what he did, snaps he took, and I hope he does go to the Hall of Fame. And even the quote from Terry Fontenot, the GM, and he said, well, if he sits 4 or 5 years, that means it's a good problem for us. And I'm thinking, if he sits 4 or 5 years, he's going to be 28 or 29, and his contract's up. And if he doesn't want to re-sign there, then they'll franchise him a couple of years. Then he's 30. It just doesn't make any sense. They said they sold it to Arthur Blank, and Arthur Blank is 82, I believe. And the whole reason he wanted them to go all in on Cousins is because he thought it gave him the best chance to win this season, to win the NFC South this season, that Tampa won last season. And then, for all intents and purposes, you know, Arthur Blank may not be around to see him throw his first pass other than mop-up duty. And there's a good chance Fontenot and maybe Raheem Morris will be gone. They just fired Arthur Smith after 3 years. But you could add your pick at any defensive player in the draft. It just made no sense. And then the first time Cousins throws a couple interceptions, you got a big-time quarterback controversy.
Yeah, I mean, they went through all the quarterback hell from the eating the money from Matt Ryan, trading him away for like a third-round pick or something, Mariota, Ritter, and quarterbacks in between all that too, and you finally get your quarterback. You're finally able to pay your guy, and then you use the number 8 pick to get a week one starter for 2027, which is just weird. And fireable. That will ultimately, instead of getting a player that can help you extend the 3-year window.
Yeah. John, some broadcasting news. Boomer Esiason, Phil Simms out on the desk at NFL Today. Matt Ryan in. Is this an upgrade for CBS?
I watched Matt Ryan a little last year, and he was fine. He didn't float my boat. I understand because of the age, and I can't say this, of course, but they want to get younger. J.J. Watt, Matt Ryan, you know, maybe Matt will be better than he was as a rookie, but I want more opinion, and I want opinion that I trust, and he's such a good guy. I want I want more Jason Kelce because I know he's going to be opinionated. And Matt Ryan knows his career's over, so he should back up his opinion with facts. And I think they got younger. If they got the right guy, it remains to be seen.
You always have to have the coach too, John, right? They keep Bill Cowher.
That's
so they
why
have the coach's
Cowher
seat, and then Cowher's there, then you get younger across the board outside of that.
John, have you ever seen a player retire from the game and then become a first-round pick? Like Leo Atu-Latu just did, headed to, Indianapolis?
I met Leo Atu-Latu here. He was a finalist for the Lombardi Award, and he won it. And he just made such a great impression on everybody, as did Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, and then Ellis. I can't remember his last name. First name, Luther was daddy. But what he went through and had to give it up and had surgery, and I'm so happy for him because I'll tell you, he won the Lombardi Award, and after it was over, I was lingering and waiting for the crowd to disperse and BSing. Then I started to walk, and I saw him with his family, and he looked at me. I had hosted a luncheon that day with the finalists for the sponsors. And so he puts his trophy down, and he runs over there, shakes my hand, reintroduces himself, and thanked me for having a great time and thanked me for the luncheon. He just couldn't have been nicer. And he's the first Lombardi winner to go back and be presented with the trophy in his hometown, Sacramento, at his high school basketball game, and at UCLA in their basketball game. Most of the guys win it, and they like, you want to do what? Sorry, I'm going to the NFL. But that kid is unbelievable, and I really look forward to watching his NFL career.
John, get your opinion on what Goodell had to say with Pat McAfee. He mentions with McAfee last week, he's not a fan of the preseason. It's the most that we've seen him be about an 18-game season, alluding to this. Could this happen before the 2030 negotiation with the CBA, and another game tacked on and another preseason game removed?
Absolutely, they're going to do it.
How soon?
It's not going to be 25. I think it's going to be in 26.
Okay.
They're going to add a second bye week because players will need it. They'll have some formula where if you play, then you're going to be off, and that's the way it should be. And, of course, you can't have it's going to have to be very careful with all the international games. But the bottom line is, what does it matter if the NFL stretches the season a couple more weeks into February for the Super Bowl? It's going to dominate no matter when it is. And when cities get the Super Bowl, they have to keep the rest of the month, all hotels and everything, ready for the NFL in case something happens that forces them to move it back. So they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't bother me at all if they ended it on Valentine's Day or leap year or anything. But it's 18 are coming.
Well, I think what it's going to do, it will match up with President's Day on Monday. So you'll have a national holiday right after the Super Bowl on Sunday. And the next time that happens is 2027 when ESPN will have the Super Bowl. It's February 14th. The following Monday, the next day, is President's Day. And that happens, once a decade or something like that where it matches up. I think by 2028, Goodell would have this matchup every single year. And the expansion, think about the timeline here, John. The expansion to the 18-game season could happen around that time, like you're saying. The NFL global push in 2027 is also when Goodell's stepping down.
Unless he signs another contract, when you're making $60 million a year, I'm sure it's hard to walk away. And he's got things going pretty well right now. No controversy with players being suspended. Now, this is the best the NFL's ever had it off the field. And as far as making money, players make more money than they've ever made. And the owners, of course, it's obscene. So the NFL's always looking for ways to make more money after gambling and after streaming. I don't know what they're going to do yet. Maybe start charging corpses or something. But there's going to be other ways for the NFL to make money.
John, always a moneymaker whenever you join our show. We appreciate
Thank you guys
and,
very much.
We enjoy
as
this.
Always.
Yeah, man. There's John McClain.
You're the best, John
McClain. I look forward to next week.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Same
look forward
time, same
to it
place.
Every single week. Thank
tip
you, John.
Tip of the cap to you as well. There's John McClain, the great John McClain. At McClain underscore on underscore NFLs, where you can follow him and read his work, HoustonTexans.com, as he would say.
So good.
Fantastic.
Our Hall of Famer. One of the best.
Chad, McClain's a jet setter. We hop on the bus. On the bus, off the bus. It's a big question.
We're bus riders. He flies
city
private.
City to city.
We get on a bus with Davey.
Yes.
Davey, who can't get on a cruise, we now jump on a bus with while John McClain flies private.
We will hop in the cruiser, though, when we return here on Hot Mike.